without further ado, says the Gemara that Lamed Omed Aleph.
Yeah.
Avua de Shmuel, the Levi, the father of Shmuel and also Levi. Very interesting name to call somebody, Avua de Shmuel. We're not told what his name was, just that he was the father of Shmuel. That was his title. The Chasam Sofer, who had, of course, a very illustrious son, the Ksav Sofer, as his who followed him as his inheritor. The Ksav Sofer's name, he had a number of names, but one of them was Shmuel. Now, even though the Chasam Sofer was Rabban Shel Kol Bnei Agoila of all of Klal Yisrael, and was famous, well known for his Chidushim and his Tshuvas, but his son, the Ksav Sofer, was also of immense stature, and the Chasam Sofer used to refer to himself, the Ksav Sofer, one of his names was Shmuel. And the Chasam Sofer sometimes used to refer to himself as Avua de Shmuel. And this is a quote from this Gemara. As if to say that the Chasam Sofer's claim to fame was because of his son. That's what he was, as it were, indicating. That my whole claim to fame is that I'm the father of the Ksav Sofer. Either way, says the Gemara, Avua de Shmuel v'Levi, the two of them, ki have a bo'u. When they needed lemeipak to go out leurcha on a journey, they needed to go on a journey early. What would they do? Havu mekadmi umatzli. Now let's translate literally. We'll see what this means. Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. Mekadmi umatzli. They would daven early. Mikadmi, we see the root of that word is koidem, before or early. Mikadmi umatzli, they would daven early. And then, v'chi hava moti zman kriyashma, when the time of kriyashma would come, moti means to arrive, when the time of kriyashma would arrive, karu, they would then recite kriyashma. Now, what does that mean? So look at Rashi. Rashi says two words. Rashi, quite a way up. The Omid, the last words on the line, Rashi says, Hava Makadmi, Koidem Hayoim, before daybreak. Now, let's press pause for a moment. Whenever we talk about Yoim, when does Yoim kick in? When is the beginning of Yoim? So we know that there is what's called Amud HaShachar, which is the early morning star, and there is Neitz HaChamo, when the sun begins to rise. Amud HaShachar is earlier than Neitz HaChamo. Technically speaking, the beginning of the day is Amud HaShachar. Amud HaShachar. Technically, that is the beginning of the day. So Avua de Shmuel and Levi, if they needed to set out on a journey and they knew that they would not be able to daven later on, for reasons we're soon going to discuss, they used to daven before the day kicked in. It was not yet Amud HaShachar, which means it's actually dark outside, and they would daven Shachris. Kriyashma, however, they waited until the correct time, which was later on, only after Amud HaShachar or Neitz HaChamo, and then said Kriya Shema. They did not daven Kriya Shema early. But davening, I mean Shemoneh Esrei obviously, they did. Now, it's very big... Sorry?
But isn't all of davening like a build-up to Shemoneh Esrei?
Yes.
So I'm like they're missing out.
100%. That's what we're going to see in the Gemara shortly. Now, let's go back into the Gemara. There is a Tosfos that disagrees with Rashi, but let's first see the Gemara to get more of a feel for this sugya. So again, Avua de Shmuel, the father of Shmuel, the Levi. whenever they would want to or need to go on a journey, they would daven early. And when the Zman of Krishma would arrive, then Karu, they would then recite Krishma. Period. Says the Gemara, Kaman, question mark. Whose opinion is that like? Whose opinion are they following? The answer is, Ki Hai Tana. Like the following Tanya. The Tanya, because it says in the Braisa, Hishkim Lotseis Laderech. The Braisa says, if somebody, again, Hishkim, got up early to go on a journey, Mevi'in loy shofar v'tekeya, you would bring him a shofar if it's Rosh Hashanah, and you would blow early. Lulav, or you bring him a lulav, u'mena'anea, and he would shake. Or Megillah v'kayrebo, or he would bring a Megillah and recite from it. In other words, whenever there was a mitzvah to be performed that day, whether lulav, shofar, or Megillah, you needed to set out on a journey early, and you knew that once you were on the journey, you would not be able to be mekayim the mitzvah. So the Braisa says you do so early, before the day kicks in. However, ukashiyagia zman kriyashma, once the time of kriyashma arrives, koire, you then read kriyashma. You then read kriyashma. Now let's continue the Braisa one more line and then we'll sum up. However, Hishkim, if they got up early, not to go on a journey, which means by foot, but rather leishev bekoroin. What's a koroin? A koroin is a wagon. Oi besfino, on a boat. So the first type of journey, when you talk about lotseis derech, you mean talking about by foot. As opposed to if they're going on a journey by wagon, horse, or sphina, or a boat, then mispalel, they would daven, ukashi agia zman kriyashma koire. And when they would reach the zman of kriyashma, they would read. Now, what's happening in this place? Let's go slowly. There are two types of travelings, it seems to be, either by foot or by wagon or boat. In both cases, we're being told that Kriya Shema must be recited at the correct time. That means only when day arrives, not before so. With regard to Tefillah, there seems to be a difference. Because we were told that if he's going by foot, then he should do the Lulav now or the Shofar now. But it did not say that they daven now. It says they blow the shofar and shake the lulav and read the Megillah. It did not say that they daven.
That means they daven.
Afterwards, in the second case, when they're going on a boat or on a wagon, it says they daven. And when it says comes to the correct zman for Krishma, they say Krishma. As opposed to, read one more line, Rashba, who's Rashba? Rav Shimon ben Elazar Oimer. Beinkach, ubeinkach. Whether this or that. What does that mean, whether this or that? Whether you're traveling by foot or you're traveling by wagon or boat, koire kriyashma umispalel. You do both kriyashma and also davening later on. Why? Kedei sheyismoich geula letfilah. Nachum, this is what you were saying. In order that there should be a juxtapositioning of geula. What's geula? When you say Kriya Shema, together with it you say the brachas of Kriya Shema. That means both the brachas before and also the brachas afterwards. Now, the bracha afterwards finishes the final words before Shmona Esra, Baruch Ato Hashem, Goal Yisrael, and then you begin Shmona Esra. That's called Geula. So Reb Shimon ben Elazar is telling you that that this concept of juxtapositioning Geula to Tefillah is so important that you cannot possibly overlook it. And therefore, if you have to blow shofar or shake lulav, be that as it may. But there's no such thing as davening before day and saying Shema only when it's day. Because if you do that, you've lost out on smichas geula l'tfila. So one second, let's press pause. Go back a stage. So what did the first opinion hold? The first opinion only mentioned davening in the case of sitting in a koroin or in the sfina. He says you should daven, and then later on, when the zman of Kriya Shema kicks in, you should recite Kriya Shema. So that means, when are you davening? Not together with Kriya Shema. You have lost out smichas geula l'tfila. And Reb Shimon ben Elazar says, absolutely, I'm not having any of that. You have to put Kriya Shema and Tfila together. So the obvious question becomes, so what does the Tanakhama hold? Why is the Tanakhama prepared to forfeit this concept of being Semech Geula L'Tfila? After all, you're traveling on a journey, you're going by wagon or by boat, and we're told, daven before day, and say Kriya Shema only during the day. Now, as we mentioned before, he only mentions that with regard to a wagon or a boat. He did not say that with regard to going on a journey. Why not? So the Gemara asks this question. And the Gemara says, B'mai komifligi, what is the machloikas? What's the machloikas? Why does the Tanakhama allow you to daven not in conjunction with Kriya Shema, and yet Rav Shimon ben Elazar seems very particular that you must have Kriya Shema and Tefillah together? Why? Says the Gemara, Mar Sovar Tefillah Me'umad Odif, Umar Sovar Mismach Geula L'Tfila Odif. What does that mean? We're playing a bit of a juggling game over here. Why? Because in the ideal world, which we are not in when a person is traveling, in ideal world, there are two principles that we would like to try and gain when we daven. Number one, mu'umod, not sitting down. Number two, smichas geula l'tfila. So on a regular day, when you're not moving, you're not traveling, you are daven standing up, mu'umod, that's why we call it the amida. And also you would be makbid to say Kriya Shema with all the brachas just before Shemoyne Esra. So the $64 million question becomes, what happens if I can only get one of those two milas? Which one is more important? What does that mean, which one is more important? If you are sitting in a wagon, or if you are sitting on a boat, then you cannot get the mila of tefillah mu'umad. You're not standing, you're sitting. You're not standing at all. You're traveling and sitting. On the other hand, if I daven at home before I set on my journey, and I will be mu'umad, but then I've lost out on smichas geula l'tfila. Says the Gemara, that's the machloikas. Which one is more important? Reb Shimon ben Elazar, the second opinion, what does he hold? He holds that being semech geula l'tfila is absolutely paramount. And therefore, even though if I tell you to daven later on whilst on the journey, you're not going to be ma'umad. Says Rav Shimon ben Elazar, as far as I'm concerned, nonetheless, that is what you're supposed to be doing. Why? Because that way you will be soimech ge'ula litfilo, and I cannot possibly be meichel on that. Therefore, whether you are walking by foot, or whether you are on a boat or a wagon, you are not mu'umad. But nonetheless, you are being soimech ge'ula litfilo. And what does the first opinion hold? The first opinion says, no, to me, being soimech ge'ula litfilo is not so important.
Yeah.
So what's more important? More important is that you should be mu'umad. And therefore, when you travel on a boat or a wagon where you will not be mu'umad, why will you not be mu'umad? Because you're sitting, traveling, you can hardly ask the boat to let you off in the water. You're not going to be mu'umad, you're going to be in transit, you're going to lose out. Therefore, I'd rather have you davening at home, before day, that way you'll be mu'umad. Mashain kein, if you are traveling by foot, there he did not say that you should daven early. Why not? Because whilst on the journey, you can always stop and daven, and that way you will be mu'umad. Therefore, there's no necessity to allow you to daven at home and lose out on being semech ge'ula l'tfila. Says the Gemara, that is the machlokes, where you have one of these two points clashing with the other, and the question becomes, I can only get one of them, which one do you go for? Have a look at Rash. Yeah, Rav Moshe Zelig.
I thought the Rav initially tried to make a distinction. I thought the Rav initially tried to make a distinction between the first case and the second case, one in which the mitzvahs, they brought a mitzvahs to do. Isn't that just a metaphor for davening? In other words, it's the same as the first case.
One second. Why is the Braisa telling me a new statement about sitting in a koroin or a sphinah?
No, that I understand. Yeah, that I understand. But the first case where he says they brought him a lulav and they brought him, a megillah, right. Isn't that just another way of saying that's part of his davening and he's going to daven at home?
No, again, if it meant that he davened at home, then why are you making Korin and Sfinah a separate category? It's exactly the same halacha. It says that also mispalel you daven at home.
Well, because either...
What's the difference in halachics? What's the difference between the two cases?
In halach, there's because I think he's saying in both cases. He's given the cases in which it's more important to stand. He gave two cases. Both the case of davening at home, when your future trip will be by foot, or whether your future trip is by boat or wagon, still the ikar is to daven at home standing. Then he brought the other case. And then the Rashba then joins in and says, either way, I don't care whether you're going on foot or I don't care whether you're going on wagon. The most important thing is not standing. The most important thing is to have your
gula v'tfila. According to the first opinion, where being seimech gula l'tfila apparently is less important. So what's of paramount importance as far as he's concerned? Tfila mu'umad.
Correct.
Now, why is he therefore making a distinction whether you're traveling on foot or by boat? Is there any difference in the two cases? halacha lemaisa. Why is he making it two categories?
No, I mean, I think he just brought a braisa that proves his point.
No, I'm asking on the braisa. I'm talking about whoever authored the braisa.
Yeah.
We're calling him the Tana Kamma.
Okay.
The Tana Kamma told us two cases. Case number one, when you go lotzeis doderech by foot.
Right.
Case number two, when you go on a wagon. Why is he making? Who cares how he travels? Why is that relevant?
I don't know. You might think there's a difference between the way you're going to go. I'm not sure. I think the way we learned it was he's making a very strong point that it doesn't matter the way you go. I don't care whether you're walking. I don't care if you're going on a boat. I don't care if you're going on a wagon. The most important thing is that you daven at home, standing, and you daven correctly. That's all. I'm no big kiddush. I'm just... And then you had the Rashba who said, no, I don't care how you go, whether you go by foot or you go by wagon, that's not the most important thing. The most important thing is samach gula v'tefillah.
So it turns out, according to that, that Avuah de Shmuel and Levi, where they davened at home, they're going like the first opinion.
Yeah.
They say that even though you're going to lose out on being Semech Geula Letzfilah, but nonetheless it's worth your while because that way at least you'll be able to achieve davening Mu'umad.
Correct. That's the way we learn.
Okay. Okay. So let's have a look at Rashi. Havu Makadmi, Rashi says, Koidem Hayoim. Bekorain Ubisfino, Ika Biasusa Demaya. Biasusa means fear. Fear of the water. In other words, when you're traveling by boat, you've got fear of the water, very choppy seas, and you're not relaxed. You won't be able to daven properly. Whereas, according to Rav Shimon ben Elazar, you don't daven at home, rather you daven later. Koire Kriya Shema, Yamtin, you should wait. Ad shi yagia zman Kriya Shema, v'yikro eno, and you should then recite Kriya Shema, v'achar kach yisbalel, and then you should daven. Why? Says Rashi, tefillah me'umad odif. The first opinion says that davening upright, not in motion, is more important. Why? Sheyochoil lechavein es liboy, so that it should be able to be mechaven his heart. Lefichach, therefore, hayu makdimin, they would preempt, they would daven early, lespalel mu'umad bebesom, they would daven early at home, so that shelo yitzdaruchu, so that they should not necessitate, lespalel bederech b'mahalich. So that they should not have to travel on the journey whilst walking. As far as they were concerned, to daven whilst traveling means you lose out on kavana, and if you lose out in kavana, then you've lost out on the most crucial aspect to tefillah. So however important being semach geula letefillah is, but it cannot outweigh davening b'kavana. And Rav Shimon ben Elazar seems to disagree. Rav Shimon ben Elazar seems to hold that no, actually being Semach Geula Letzfilah is of most importance. And therefore, Avua de Shmuel the Levi who davened at home beforehand and lost out on being Semach Geula Letzfilah, they clearly hold at the Tana Kamma that what's of most paramount importance is davening Mu'umad, and that way you can daven the Kavona. Okay, let's just clock out, we'll clock back in, and we'll see the Tosfos, and we'll finish the Gemara Mitzvah. Tosfos. Not the last, but the second to last. Avuah de Shmuel. Avuah de Shmuel, the Levi, have a Makadmi or Matzli. Pirish Rashi. Tosfos quotes Rashi as having said, Koidem Amud HaShachar. Now, Rashi didn't actually say those words. Rashi says Kodem Hayoim, but as we said, that's the same thing. The day begins with Amud HaShachar. So if Rashi says Kodem Hayoim, that means Kodem Amud HaShachar. Says Toisus Veloy Nire. This would not appear to be correct. I don't agree with Rashi, why not? The Imkain Loi Hoyu Yoitzim Boy Klal. They would not have left. You would not be Yoitzer Tfilah. If you look in the Bach at the side, he adds one word. Loi Hoyu Yoitzim Klal Betfilah, the Yoim. Kiven the Adayin Eino Yoim. Tosfos comes with what seems to be an unanswerable question. How can you possibly daven Shachris before the Zman of Shachris? If day begins at Amud HaShachar, how can we possibly suggest that we have Amoroyim davening before daybreak? But then you're not Yoytze Yochiv of Tfilah at all. So I understand that they want to daven early, but there's surely a limit. You can't daven too early. Says Tosfos Lekach Nira. And therefore, it would appear to me, Kepirush Rach. Who's the Rach? Rabbeinu Chananel. De Misha Olo Amud HaShachar Ka'omar. What's meant over here is after Amud HaShachar. Not, as Rashi puts it, before Amud HaShachar. That can't be, says Tosfos. As far as I'm concerned, the Gemara must mean that they davened when? After Amud HaShachar. So what does it mean they davened early? V'hava mekadmi koidem ha-netzach ha-mokomar. As we say many times, ka'omar doesn't mean what's said, it means what's meant. That is what's meant over here. V'adayin einoy ikar zman tefillah. Says Tosfos, on the one hand, this is Zman Tefillah. Were it not to be Zman Tefillah, then there's no point in davening, you cannot be Yetzer. But on the other hand, Tosfos adds this one word. He doesn't say it's Einoi Zman Tefillah, he says it's Einoi Iker Zman Tefillah. Lechatchila, the main time, the best time to daven is from Netz or at Netz and onwards. But that does not mean that from Amud HaShachar you can't daven. And that's what we said before, that technically speaking, the day begins at Amud HaShachar. Practically, the best time for davening is from Netz HaChamo and onwards. So under special circumstances, when you want to leave the house early, and you won't be able to daven afterwards, or daven properly afterwards, we can allow you to daven from Amud HaShachar. But not before. There's no such thing as davening before Amud HaShachar. Let's see one. Okay, we won't see the next Tosfos yet because we need to see the rest of the Gemara. So either way, we have an enormous Machloikas Rishonim over here. What is the earliest time you can daven in an emergency? And this is extremely Negea Halacha L'maisa. Bezos Hashem will see, if not today, maybe later on, tomorrow, next time. We have to see how he passed Halach HaLamayisa. This is very, very, very negeah. You have an early morning flight, a 7 o'clock in the morning flight. You have to leave your home. You've got a cab waiting for you outside your front door at 4:30 in the morning. How early can I daven? Should I daven early at home? Should I daven Shachris in the cab sitting down? Well, what should I do? How early is the earliest you can daven in an emergency? So Tosfos has l'chayra ruled out davening before Amud HaShachar. There's no such thing davening before Amud HaShachar. Rashi seems to say that it is okay. Again, not in ordinary circumstances, but in a Shas HaDchak. So we have to see how we paskan on this. Before we see the bottom Tosfos, we have to see now the rest of the Gemara. Says the Gemara, Maremar, the name of one Amoira, Umar Zutra, the name of another Amoira, Hava Makanfi. How do you translate the word Makanfi? Makanfi means would assemble or collect. Hava Makanfi Be Asora would assemble 10 people, Beshabta de Rigla. Umatzli, on the Shabbos of before Yom Tov, Rigla is from the word regel, like Shalosh Regolim. As we'll soon see in Rashi, there was always a very special Shabbos, the Shabbos before Yom Tov. We know, of course, we have Shabbos HaGadol before Pesach, but we're going to see it before every Yom Tov. Umatzli, they would daven, Vahodar Nafka, and they would then go out Lepirka to the drasha. Pirka means to the drasha. What on earth is going on? Let's have a look at Rashi. The Shabbat de Rigla, the Shabbos of Yom Tov. What does it mean, the Shabbos of Yom Tov? Rashi says the Shabbos of Yom Tov doesn't mean when it's actually Yom Tov, rather Shalifnei Pesach Vatzeres Vesukkos. Before Pesach, Vatzeres, and Sukkot, similar to what we have, for example, on Shabbos HaGadol, where we have a drasha. We have a shir. The idea of the shir is so that the Kehillah should be taught the halachas of the upcoming Yom Tov. That's called, in the Lashon of the Gemara, Shabbos de Rigla. The Shabbos before the Regel, where there used to be a pirka, pirka like the word perek, they used to teach them, give them a shir. Now, Umaremar Beiroi, Maremar in his city, Umar Zutra Beiroi, and Mar Zutroi in his, each one in their respective cities, Hoyu Hadarshonim. What does that mean, Darshonim? They were the ones giving the drasha. So Maremar and Mar Zutra were the Darshonim, they're the ones on this special pre-Yom Tov Shabbos, they're the ones giving the drasha. The shachris in the morning, hoyu ha'am hoilchim lebeis hamedrash. The am, the masses, would go to the beis hamedrash in the morning. Ukeshmagia zman kriyashma. It came to the zman of kriyashma, koirin. They would all recite kriyashma. And then, Vahadarshan Dairish. After that, the Darshan would give the Drasha. Vaha'om, and again in the Kehillah, Nishmotim. What does it mean, Nishmotim? Would slip out. They would excuse themselves. They would slip out. Umispalalim Ish Ish Levadai. And everybody, for some reason, everybody would daven at home by themselves. So why this is what happened, I don't know, but this is what happened. People used to come to shul, say Kriya Shema at the correct time. For some reason, they did not daven there and then. The Darshan gave his drasha, after which everybody all went home. They came for the drasha, and then they went home. And where would they daven? By themselves at home. Says Rashi Olakach. Therefore, Maremar and Mar Zutra, they were the Darshanim. They did not want to miss out on a minion. So what do? Hoyu Me'asfin. They would gather Lohem for themselves, Yud, 10 people, Shachris, for Shachris. Koidem sheyelchu lebeis hamedrash. Before they ever got to the Beis HaMedrash, they gathered 10 people in their home to daven shachris. V'koirin kriya shema, they would be koira kriya shema. Umispalalim, and they would daven b'smichas geula l'tfilah. ensuring that they juxtapose gula to tefillah, v'hodi, v'hodar, and then nafka, they would go out, lepirka, v'darshi, and then they would go and give the shir. So again, look at the Gemara. Have a makam fi be'asara. They would gather 10 people, b'shabta derigla on the Shabbos before Yom Tov u'matzdi, they would daven, v'hodar, nafka, lepirka, and then they would go out to give their drosha. Now, we're going to see more about this in a moment. Rav Ashi did something different. Rav Ashi, matzli, again that word matzli we've had many, many times, which means to daven. Bahodi tzibura. He would daven whilst he was with the tzibur, but b'yochid. But he davened by himself. The tzibur were there, but they weren't davening. So he was Bahodi Tzibura, he was with the Tzibur, but he'd be davening as a Yochid, Meyushev, sitting down, Ki Hava Osi Lebeise, and then when he eventually came home, Hodar Umatzli Mu'umad, he used to daven once again, standing up. So what does this mean? Says Rashi. Rav Ashi, Hoyo Roish Yeshiva, he was the Rosh Yeshiva. Where? B'mato Machsia, in the town of Machasia. The Doiresh, and he also used to give the drasha as the Rosh Hashiva. V'hu, and he, loy hoya mispalel koidem beis hamedrash, he did not do Marema, what Marema Malzutra did, which was to daven before. No, he didn't do that. He would not daven before he came to the Beis HaMedrash. So what would he do? Elo, rather, Kishmagi Azman Krishma. When it came to the Zman of Krishma, Loichesh Harbe Yachad Lemturgman Ha'oimed Lefonov. In those days, they had what was called a Meturgman. Now, a maturgman, really, the correct definition of a maturgman is a translator. But in the times of Chazal, it didn't just mean a translator. It means somebody who would explain. So the Rosh Hashiva would whisper to him the main points of the drasha, and the maturgman would then expound on his drasha. Now, it came to the Zman of Kriya Shema, and he wanted to daven. Say Kriya Shema and daven. But he can't, because he's supposed to be saying a drasha. So what was his trick? He loaded up the maturgaman with plenty of material. The maturgaman then had to relay it to the tzibor and expound on it. So presumably that would take time. Meanwhile, Rav Ashi has now got some free time on his hands. Says Rashi, Loicheish Harbe, he would whisper a lot, Yachad, all together. He would whisper a whole bunch of different things. The Maturgaman Ho'imed Lefonov. To the Maturgaman who was standing in front of him. Uba'oid Shah Maturgaman Mashmia L'Rabim. And whilst the Maturgaman was then relaying it to the Kehila, Ukoireh Shema. So he had nothing to do now, drosha wise. So he would then Mikoyre Kriya Shema, V'soymech Geula L'Tfilah, and then daven, so he got everything. Or Mispalel Meyushev, though he would daven sitting down. Why did he daven sitting down? Why didn't he just leave the Beis HaMedrash in a side room and daven standing up? Sheloi Hayoroitze Lotzeis. He didn't want to leave the Beis HaMedrash or the Yeshiva. Why not? Sheloi Lahatshriach Es HaTzibur. Not to exert the tzibur, lokum lefonov, to all have to stand up in front of him. He knew that if he would leave the yeshiva, all his hundreds of talmidim would all have to stand up in front of him. He didn't want to exert them. He didn't want to be matriach them. So what did he do? He stayed put, sitting down. he whispers in the ear of the Meturgeman a whole bunch of different ideas that he wants to relate to the Tzibur, more than usual. I mean, normally what would he do? He'd say one line, the Meturgeman would expound. Another line, he'd expound. But he couldn't do that here. Because if he'd only do one line, then he wouldn't have enough time to do Kriya Shema and Tefillah. So here he gave him 10 lines of headlines, and then the Meturgeman would expound. Presumably that would take 10 minutes or so, or more. In the meantime, Rav Ashi would then say Kriya Shema and would daven. You would do so, however, sitting down. He didn't want to daven standing up, leaving the yeshiva, because then everybody would have to stand up in front of him, and it would be a terrible tircha to put everybody out to have to stand in front of him. Says the Gemara, V'li'aved mar k'mareimar umazutra. Li'aved, he should do. Why does mar, meaning Rav Ashi, not do the same as mareimar? What does that mean? I'm sorry, we missed out a Rashi. Rav Ashi used to daven, says Rashi, Bahodi Tzibura, B'sho'o Shahatzibur Nishmotim Umispalalim, Inami alternatively, Bahodi Tzibura, K'moishu Yoishev B'toichat Tzibur, as you were sitting there, Kleimar She'ina Yoitzi. And then, V'chiyava Osila Beisei, when you would eventually come home, Choyze Umispalalim, you would daven once again, Mu'umad, the Chavines Liboy, in order that he should daven, but Kavona, that's the best way to daven. Okay, you'll excuse me, I must leave here. The question is, when should we learn next? Thursday morning is a Tanis. I guess in theory we could learn then. If not, does tomorrow morning work out for anybody?
Either way. Either way, Tanis works as well.
I'm fine. Wednesday, Thursday.
Sorry?
I would prefer Thursday, just keeps the schedule.
Okay, so I'll let you know. Normally I give a share on Wednesday mornings in a different forum. I'll find out what's happening tomorrow. And Blinida, I'll send you an email today just to let you know. Either way, before we reconvene next time, see to the end of the Gemara and the bottom Tosfos. And the relevant Shulchan Aruch. The relevant Shulchan Aruch, you'll see from the Maamar Kohanim to the side, you'll pick it all up there, is in Simon Pei Tes, and Simon Seid Dadad, and Reish Pei Dadad. You'll see all the Maamar Kohanim are all there. Sorry, not Reish Pei Vav, that's the next Sugya. And then Be'ezus Hashem. So either tomorrow or Thursday we'll reconvene. But Moshe Zelig, if I have you here, what should we do about the Parasha Shul on Thursday night? Parasha cannot be... Mariv on the end of the fast, it's the latest Tanis. Mariv is only going to be like about 8:10, 3:15, which means you only begin eating at 8:30.
Well,
so we can't possibly have the shir then. So I'm not sure if to do it later is an option either, because people are not going to be finished eating till 9:15 the earliest.
Right, it's going to be hard to get people together.
Which is a bit late, and people will be exhausted, myself included. Question is either just to leave it for this week, or in theory to reschedule it for Wednesday night. But Wednesday night is not good for me, to be honest. Another thing I could do.
What about Friday morning, like we used to do? Think we could get a crowd together?
Friday morning. Okay, that might be a possibility. I'm not sure if I can go Wednesday night. I don't think Thursday night's going to work out.
No, it doesn't sound like Thursday night would be good.
No, it's after a fast. It's not a good time.
Okay, so
I'll send you an email. We'll be in touch about it.
Okay, wonderful.
Okay, all the best, everybody.
Have a wonderful day, everyone. Yeah. Be safe.
Yeah.